Good morning. Before I actually get into my lesson, I want to make a brief announcement. For those involved in LTC, parents, chaperones, students, we're going to have a brief LTC meeting in the back following morning services. This morning's lesson is going to be a little different for me because I'm going to try to keep it real short. Because Don's going to be, Mason likes that. Don's going to be presenting something in a few moments. So I wanted to try to think of something that went along with Don's presentation. So I've entitled this lesson, The Work of the Lord or The Work of the Church. And what I want to do this morning is issue two challenges to the congregation here. The first challenge is this, get involved. If you're not involved in something right now, get involved in something. And the second challenge is this, if you are involved in something, continue in that work. I want to look at a couple of verses regarding the first challenge of get involved. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to begin in verse 1. We're going to read the first five verses of this passage. And I want you, as we're reading through this, to look at the nature of their involvement. Look how the church in Macedonia is involved. Because Paul, while writing to the church in Corinth, talks about the church in Macedonia. So notice how the church in Macedonia gets involved. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they have gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Notice the nature of their involvement, first of all. Notice in verse 2 he says their involvement was done out of an abundance of joy. They were happy to be involved. They were excited about being involved. Sometimes we get caught up in the trap of being involved being an inconvenience. You know, I already have things I'm doing. I'm already trying to get somewhere. I've already got obligations with work, with family. So we sometimes look at his involvement as an inconvenience. But the Macedonian church looked at it with joy. And in fact, Paul says, out of an abundance of joy. And if you notice, their involvement was with an abundance of joy in spite of a number of hardships. Look at what he says in verse 2. They had a severe test of affliction and extreme poverty. Severe test of affliction and extreme poverty, yet they were involved with great joy. Here's a group of people who had good excuses to not get involved. If you think you have a good excuse to not get involved, my bet is theirs is better than yours. I think they had good excuses. You know, we have some hardships you will not believe. We are so poor, we can't get involved right now. But Paul says, in spite of this, they had an abundance of joy. And in fact, in verse 4, if you look at the beginning of that, he says, they begged us earnestly to participate. How were they involved? They were involved with great joy. They were excited about the work, in spite of the fact they had obstacles to overcome. They were excited about being involved. And you'll notice in verse 5, their involvement consisted of giving themselves. It says in verse 5, and this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. They gave themselves. They were involved in two ways in this passage. First, they gave themselves. Second, they gave their financial contributions. They were involved in two different ways. If you can't give yourself, you know, time-wise, right now, because there should eventually be time when you can, maybe you can do it in another way. Here's another way they were involved, by giving their finances. Turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I want to read the first three verses of this passage. And Luke actually, in three different chapters right in a row, gives some great examples of being involved in the congregation. We're going to look at two of those examples this morning. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Soon afterwards, he, talking about Christ, went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna and many others, who provided for them out of their means. This passage seems very complimentary to the last passage we just read. If you notice, first of all, they gave it themselves. The 12 people, the 12 men here, along with the women, they gave it themselves. They accompanied Christ in His teachings. At this point, I don't think they were really involved in the teaching itself. But they accompanied Christ as He taught. And that's a great learning tool. It's a great way of growing. These apostles, these women, they were taking advantage of a growing opportunity. They were taking advantage of a time for spiritual growth. And we have a responsibility to ourselves to grow spiritually. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." How do we grow in knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ? I think one way we do this is through Bible studies. And one of the things this congregation, I think, is very good about is providing many opportunities to study the Bible. We have open Bible studies on Tuesday nights. I've been teaching that for a while, and I really enjoy it. I don't know about the students, but I really enjoy teaching that class. Then we have Wednesday night Bible classes, and we have Sunday morning Bible classes. We have Thursday's Bible studies in the back for the ladies. And there's other times where we've had Bible studies in homes and individually. This congregation does a great job about making Bible studies very available. If you're not involved in a Bible study, get involved in a Bible study. If the only time you open your Bibles with men and sisters from this congregation is in here, you need to be involved in a Bible study. These men and women who were accompanying Christ, again, why were they accompanying Him? It doesn't say they were preaching. I think they were accompanying Him because they were taking advantage of an opportunity to learn. They were involved in His ministry in two ways. First of all, by giving themselves, allowing themselves to be taught. And secondly, if you notice the last verse of Luke 8, verse 3, He says, these women provided for them out of their means. So again, we see like the group from Macedonia, they gave of themselves and they gave of their finances. These people here in Luke chapter 8 do the same. They're giving of themselves and their financial support. Turn over two chapters to Luke chapter 10. I want to read the first two verses of this passage. "And after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of Him, two by two, into every town and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" How do these people get involved? How are the 70 here involved in the work of Christ, the work of the church, the work of the Lord? Well, first of all, they proclaimed the good news. If you look down in that same chapter, you see they were told to say that the kingdom is coming. You will see that they were told to heal people. And if you look at the chapter right before this, we're not going to do that. But in Luke 9, Christ sends out the 12 with a similar command. So how are they involved in this passage? The ones who were earlier teachers, who were earlier students, are now teachers. I'm sure those women are now a part of this 70. I am sure that the apostles are now part of this 70. Those who were being taught in Luke 8 are now doing the teaching in Luke 10. They were now proclaiming the good news. And then also, if you notice in verse 2, they were involved through prayer. Christ tells them here, He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray." Pray. You can be involved through prayer. You should be involved through prayer. But you'll also notice, skip down to verse 17 of the same chapter. I want to read that first line of that verse 17. It says, "The 72 returned with joy." Again, notice the nature of their involvement. They were joyful about their involvement. They were teaching, they were praying for the work, and they had a great joy about that. The most miserable Christians I've ever met, I don't mean that in a way that they were miserable people necessarily, but ones who were mopey, ones who were depressed in their Christian walk, the most miserable Christians I've ever met were those who were not involved. If you want to be a Christian that has joy about being a Christian, get involved. Get involved with the works of the church. Get involved with Bible studies, with teaching. Get involved. If you're not involved and you're sitting there and you say, "I'm never happy in this congregation," maybe you need to examine yourself. See why you're not happy with the congregation. Is it because of the congregation or is it because of your lack of involvement in the congregation? Get involved in the work of the church. Get involved. You can do this again from this first passage we looked at. You can get involved by what? By being a student. Go to the Bible studies. You can get involved by teaching. Just like the 70 in this passage, they were involved through teaching the gospel. Get involved by praying for the work. This congregation, George just requested prayers on behalf of this congregation just a moment ago. Get involved in the works of this congregation through prayer. Pray for house to house. Pray for heart to heart. Pray for TNT, Vacation Bible School, LTC, All these things the congregation is involved in, pray for them. You can also get involved through the financial needs of this congregation, which this congregation has been great about responding to that need. And from Nathan House, thank you. And but you can continue your involvement by continuing to support the congregation financially as well. The second challenge I said I wanted to issue this morning is if you are involved, continue to be involved. Continue to be involved. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And I want to read the first part of verse 9. The opening statement of verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good." Why does the Apostle Paul tell us to not grow weary in doing good? Why does he make that statement? Does he understand that sometimes as people in a busy world, in a busy life, we get bogged down with life itself, that we sometimes get burned out on the work, that we sometimes get fatigued with the things we're doing? Does the Apostle Paul understand that? Absolutely. In fact, he would say the same thing again in the book of, to the church in Thessalonica. Don't grow weary in doing good. Because he knows that there are times in our life where we will grow weary. So he encourages us. He says, don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The question is how do we guard against growing weary? How do we keep our involvement where it should be in the congregation? Because that's really what this is dealing with, isn't it? Don't grow weary of doing good. Stay involved. You're already involved. Continue to be involved. How do we battle that nagging fatigue we have, that desire to give up because we're tired of it? How do we fight that? I want to give you two ways to fight that this morning. First, we fight it through realizing the significance of the work we're involved in. A couple of months ago, I did a sermon on Korah's Rebellion. And one of the great lessons from that story is that God does not give insignificant jobs. He does not give insignificant tasks. If God has given a task, it is important. If God has given a job, it is significant. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this chapter is mostly dealing with, well, the last half of this chapter, is dealing with the resurrection. And the fact that there is a victory through the resurrection. You know, the resurrection gives us a victory over death, gives us a victory over Satan. And that's what that chapter is dealing with. And in verse 57, Paul makes this comment. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, then in verse 58, he starts the next verse with the word therefore. So why does he say therefore? In light of the fact that we have this victory, in light of the fact that we have a resurrection, that we're going to win, in light of that, he says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Paul says here that we need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Abounding kind of means that we're supposed to be like having a lot of it, doesn't it? That we're supposed to do so with the right attitude, with the right quantity. And he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But you'll notice the next phrase, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. We need to realize that the labor we do for the Lord is not in vain. It's not insignificant. How many times have you done a work for the Lord, for the church, and you've worked hard at it, and you've put your effort into it, and you don't see any fruits? And you think, what was the purpose of it? It did no good. Nothing good came from that work. I think a lot of times, I know I sometimes struggle with that. There was no point in that. It didn't do any good to anybody. There was no significant benefit to that. But Paul says, if you work in the Lord, it is not in vain. I do some works at home that are pretty meaningless, if you ask me. Dishes, vacuuming, cleaning the toilet. I don't like doing those works. My wife says they're important. I think they're in vain. But when we work in the Lord, it's never in vain. When we work for the church, it's never in vain. We may not see the fruits of that work, but it is never in vain. We need to realize, again, the significance of the tasks that we have been given. If you look through the Old Testament, you see God doing great things from seemingly small people, from seemingly small tasks, Him doing great things. No matter what task God has given you, maybe you're burned out on it. And I understand that. We all get burned out sometimes. That's why Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good. Because he knows we sometimes get burned out. But realize how important that task is. Bible class teachers, I know you guys need breaks. I know you get burned out. I know you get fatigued. Don't grow weary in doing that work. We need you. This congregation needs you. You are be blessed by God for the works you are doing. Those of you who write cards, thank you. I personally have never seen a congregation write cards like this congregation. You are the card writingest people I ever seen. And you write wonderful cards, and they mean something to people. Thank you. Don't think little of that task. Those of you who write, who call people to see how they're doing, thank you. It means something to those who receive that call. There are so many works and so many people in this congregation that I could go through and name these things. And the point I'm trying to make is, don't grow weary in that work. Don't see that work as insignificant. It is important. It is a job God has given you. Don't grow weary in it. And I, first of all, I said, how are we going to make sure we don't grow weary in that task? First of all, realize how significant it is. Second, love the work you are involved in. Love the work you are involved in. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to begin in verse 2. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians verse, chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you. There's a bunch of really interesting things in that passage, but I want to focus on one. He says again in verse 3, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love. And we've talked about that before, haven't we? A labor of love. I want to share with you a story that William Barclay shares in his commentary on 1 Thessalonians. He tells of a time where Bernard Newman went and he was visiting at a home of a Bulgarian peasant. And he was sitting in this woman's house and he was watching the young lady of the house, and she sat there for hours and hours sewing on this dress. And sewing and sewing and sewing. And he finally just asked her, he says, don't you ever get tired of that eternal sewing? And she replied, oh no, you see, this is my wedding dress. When we love something, when we care about something, we don't grow weary in it. She wasn't growing weary of sewing her wedding dress because she was doing something that meant a lot to her. She was doing something that she loved. William Barclay made this comment on that passage. Work done for love always has a glory. Don't grow weary in the works of the Lord. How can you combat that? First of all, realize how significant that work is. Second, love the labor. Love the work you're doing. Work not because of obligation or because of guilt. Work because you love what you're doing. Find a place in the congregation where you can work and you can have enjoyment doing that work. Find something that you can grow in the congregation and get involved in that. The Church of Christ on Savage Street is a wonderful congregation. I've been very happy to be here the last almost 6 years. And I want to personally say thank you for the time that I've been here working with you, and thank you for the things you are involved in. Thank you for the contributions you've given and increased greatly over the last 5 years. Thank you for the prayers you've offered on behalf of my family and Don Rule and the elders and the deacons and the work of the congregation here. Thank you for that. And I want to end again with this. Continue to be involved where you are. If you're not involved, find a place to work. Find a place where you can serve God. Find a place where you can have abundance of joy in working for the Lord. I want to say a prayer at this time, if you bow your head with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. And I thank you for the congregation that is here. We thank you for the love that you have given us in sending your Son. We thank you for the elders of this congregation. We ask you to bless them and their families. Thank you for Don Rule and his family. And we ask that you will bless them and grant Don and I the wisdom and the ability to serve in a capacity that is pleasing into your sight. We thank you for the deacons of this congregation, and we ask you to bless each one of them as well. Thank you for each member of this congregation and the work that they are involved in and the work they do. We pray, Father, that the works that we are a part of will glorify you and help us to grow in spirit and in truth. We love you and we praise you. And we ask this prayer in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're not involved in the works of the congregation and you would like to be, or you're here this morning and you've been struggling with sins, or there's something we can help you with, anything at all, please come as we sing a song that's been selected.